A crucible is a clay vessel within which materials can be heated to very high temperatures without destroying the vessel itself. In alchemy, that medieval science and philosophy that sought to transform base metal into gold, in alchemy, the crucible was the vessel that contained the transformational process. In spiritual alchemy, the crucible is a symbol of the capacity to change. The outer container remains intact, and the internal material is transformed. Now here we are on Easter morning, which is complicated for us. Our Christian siblings are celebrating the message of good news, the Easter story that Jesus rose from the dead and came back to offer eternal life to those who believe. This is the central story of Christianity, that Jesus transcended death and that all who believe in him will also be given eternal life after death. For us, Easter is an ambiguous holiday if we don't believe in the resurrection. Unitarian Universalists can often agree that Jesus was fully human, a teacher, a prophet, a mentor, but not God, and we certainly don't claim the resurrection. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Jefferson Bible. Thomas Jefferson believed the whole of America would be Unitarian by the end of the 18th century. He created this Bible of the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth by meticulously cutting and pasting segments of the four Gospels, putting it together in one narrative of the life of Jesus without any miracles, without anything supernatural. The Jefferson Bible ends after the crucifixion and death of Jesus with the stone being rolled to shut the tomb. No resurrection, without which it's all a fairly grim story, right? We don't usually mark Tenebrae, the Good Friday recognition of that horrible death of Jesus on the cross, even though theologically it might make more sense for us than Easter. We do not enjoy suffering, and there is simply no way to understand a crucifixion other than a slow, terrible, painful way to die. And for Universalists, the redemptive part of Jesus' death is also theologically challenging. The essence of the Christian understanding of redemption is that salvation comes only through accepting Jesus as one Savior. Yet, we believe all of humanity is saved through inherent worth and dignity and universal love. We object to the notion that suffering should be endured or welcomed as a means of atonement and the path to redemption. So we struggle with the meaning of Easter beyond celebrating fertility or the fresh new arrival of spring. We sing about the beauty of the earth and the dew on the early morning grass. We dye eggs and we unwrap chocolate bunnies and we don our spring hats. But what does this religious holiday, the most important day of the Christian calendar, what does this offer us as Unitarian Universalists? Maybe its meaning can only be found in metaphor. Maybe the mystery of the empty tomb becomes the opportunity for a new beginning. That tomb is the crucible from which emerges transformation. We should not always be literal. As in poetry and fiction, metaphor can get to some truths that are not possible with pure fact. Eliot spoke of the butterfly as a metaphor for the transformation that can happen in our lives. I had originally titled this service, The Terror of Transformation. I'm not that good at service titles, I know that. But the terror refers to that in-between space between the caterpillar and the butterfly. Because in the cocoon, The caterpillar completely dissolves into a sticky, gooey mess, completely unrecognizable as to what it once was or what it will be. Terror just might be the appropriate response to the complete unknown. Finding yourself in limbo, in a liminal existence, or finding yourself in a completely unrecognizable space. Where am I? How did I get here? These metaphors of transformation, both the crucible and the butterfly, work well on the individual level. For our personal lives, we change, we transform, sometimes slowly and sometimes in a flash. And in the mystical metaphor of resurrection, today on Easter morning, what is it in you? What aspect of yourself might need to die in order for you to be transformed, in order to make space for that future self, which might be unrecognizable to you today? Think of these community lives that we live in, this congregational life with so much change going on right now. And in the wider world we find ourselves, which I can sometimes find unrecognizable. Jesus was a brown-skinned man who was arrested and tortured and executed by the state. I am not the only one among my colleagues recognizing a similarity with Stephon Clark. Just a few days ago, a brown-skinned man killed for no good reason by the state. And is there a parallel between the women bringing spices on Sunday morning to the tomb to wash the body of Jesus and the fact that Stephon Clark's body was so damaged that his imam could not perform the traditional Muslim washing? Executions separated by two millennia, but the similar abuse of power is sobering. When we look at the teachings of Jesus, we find someone who stood up to empire, who always aligned himself with the marginalized, the displaced, the outcast. He was a teacher. He was a radical organizer with a flair for political theater. In today's time, he would stand with immigrant rights and the Black Lives Matter movement. He would stand with the Me Too movement against sexual violence. He would stand with the disabled. This time we find ourselves in, where the word oligarchy might better describe our political system than the word democracy, where a sexual predator and dangerous bully holds our highest office, where the phrase religious freedom has been turned completely on its head, where we find threads of fascism and violent nationalism and white supremacy targeting our most vulnerable, our LGBTQ siblings, our immigrant and refugee populations, anti-Semitic violence and threats rising each month. Are we in the fire of the crucible right now? Or is this that unrecognizable in-between space between the caterpillar and the butterfly, where we cannot see what's ahead? We don't know what it's going to look like. Now, as a faith, most of us do not go deeply into the spiritual practice of the Christian Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday, with the entry into Jerusalem, and then becoming almost unbearable. Maundy Thursday, which is the night of the Last Supper, and the acknowledgement that the disciples would betray their teacher. And then Good Friday, where he is crucified. The deep despair of those days, distraught, inconsolable, not knowing what is ahead. I don't need to believe in the physical resurrection to mine this story for meaning today in our time. In the Christian story, that despair turns to jubilation. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And the joy that says, I am saved. By his death on the cross, my sins are forgiven, and I'm not going to hell. But we don't believe in hell, so we don't have to be afraid of that. It is a question for Unitarian Universalists about how we address that sin question. And by sin, I mean when we do terrible things. Many of us define sin as missing the mark. That is a good, reasonable Greek translation of the word for sin in another definition in an archery context. Missing the mark, missing the target. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I mean, how does our faith address the depths of despair or shame or guilt that you or I might sink into when we come to see that we have hurt someone else terribly, whether intentionally or not? It is that depth of feeling that cries out for forgiveness, for absolution. We don't have weekly or monthly rituals that hold a container for that human condition, but it is real, and I welcome talking with you about it anytime. You can be forgiven. You are forgiven. We do focus on this life after birth rather than life after death. What happens after death will always remain a mystery, no matter how strong some people's feelings are about what happens then. But what happens in this life, as we make decisions and we create relationships and we think and ponder and we make mistakes and hopefully forgive ourselves and forgive others around us, all that is something we do have some control over, some measure of control. So it makes sense, and we are sensible people, right? It makes sense to focus on life after birth rather than life after death and to try to lead our lives centered in love and hope. The resurrection of Jesus was a miracle, one of the central miracles of Christianity. And yet, as sensible, objective people grounded in reality and science, many Unitarian Universalists have a difficult time believing in that miracle. For many of us, nature is the miracle. The blowing clover, the falling rain, the riot, staggering variety of color and hue that paints the flowers. Cell division and growth, electricity, gravity, the solar system and the nebulae. There are laws that explain these things. We wanted to know them. We discovered those laws. And doesn't that make the human mind a miracle in itself? That we can grasp that complexity, to break systems down to their smallest components and then see how they fit into this integrated whole? And isn't the human heart a miracle? Not just physically, but with love and compassion and forgiveness as its capacity. We are all miracles. Every one of us right here, right now. So if you look around you and you can see miracles abounding in the insects and in the grasses, then perhaps it's not such a far cry to also think about the way we ourselves can experience resurrection. Because we do, you know, every day. Every day we get to start over again. Every day begins fresh, even if yesterday was terrible, horrible, awful, really bad day. We can wake up in the morning, and most mornings we wake up somewhat refreshed. Most mornings we wake up somewhat rested, ready to muster the resources that we can to live this life ahead of us. Regardless of what happened the day before, this day before us is new. And this is in the context of the crucible as well. The terror and the pain and the despair that can come from the difficulties of human life and sometimes the violence of human relationship. The fire of the crucible from which emerges transformation. The confusion of the in-between spaces when you are not what you were and you aren't quite what you're ready to be. We get to start over again and again and again. And isn't this the metaphor of resurrection? We awaken to new life and new possibilities and new understandings. Our world is always turning towards, in the morning, that fierce ball of light. And every morning we get to start over. Resurrection, which is only possible in community. It is good to be with you this morning. Together in community. Amen.